We know Taco Bell's food is great. They've even got a whole new cantina menu with fresh new ingredients. Taco Bell is not just for late night anymore. With fresh new ingredients like slow roasted chicken, pico de gallo, purple cabbage, and new avocado verde salsa sauce. Taco Bell is a great destination for your midday fuel. They have amazing menu items like cantina chicken tacos, burritos, and quesadilla. I truly do love Taco Bell. I love a Crunchwrap Supreme. It is one of my favorite things to eat. Ooh, don't wait till it's late. Try the new cantina chicken menu now. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Carden, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in-store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store. Why Won't You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, was trying to figure out why I'm still single, but guess what? I don't know. My guest today is a professional intuitive tarot reader, witch, and practical practitioner. She's going to give me a reading today, and maybe she'll know when love is coming for me. I mean, one can only hope. It's Sudden Cropper!
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for doing this. So tell me when you knew you were intuitive.
Oh, God. Since I've been little, I was a little kid when I knew I was intuitive. I think everybody has a level of intuition. And whether they listen to it or not, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I always get like gut feelings and 99% of the time I am correct.
Oh, yeah. Your gut won't steer you wrong for the most part.
Can you tell me about a field trip that you went to with your school where you saw a fortune teller?
Yes, we went to a metaphysical store, and the person was an intuitive or a psychic, and they didn't really say, and they kind of grabbed my hand and they were like, "You have the gift." And that always kind of stuck with me.
Oh my God. I feel like that's like the beginning of a movie or something.
Oh, totally.
Where it's like, "You have the gift." And then it's like, "Oh no." And then everything starts shaking, and then the adventure begins.
20 years later.
So you had a permanent residency as a tarot card reader. What is that, like a 9-to-5?
Oh, no. It's still freelance. So like somebody book me and then I come in. But it's nice to be in a location versus doing it at home. So now I just currently do it from home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, so you're married.
I am.
And how did you know your husband was coming?
No, God, no. But I definitely knew he was the guy when I met him.
What was it, your intuition or was it other things that
I bet
felt?
It was a combo. It was like a combo of the love feelings and the vagina feelings and the head feelings and the heart feelings. It was all the feelings.
Okay. What is also like, okay, what are the dumbest questions that people ask about you being an intuitive or tarot card reader?
I mean, my favorite people to read for are skeptics, generally.
Ah.
Those are always the most fun, but they can ask some pretty silly questions, you know. And most people are really respectful about it, but, you know, I get dumb questions about, like, why do you believe this? Or this is clearly not real, so what are you even doing with your life?
That's very, very funny. So wait, how did you met your husband doing a production of Romeo and Juliet?
Yes.
I mean,
I know, wow. Gag, gross.
How fucking, like, perfect.
Well, and it was funny because I was with somebody else who was not a very nice person. My gut was not steering me. No, my gut knew that he was not a very nice person and that he was not the guy. But I was young. He had money. I was like, oh, this is what love is. It's like mutual respect and vacations. And then my husband walked in to audition because I was already cast as Juliet. And we read the balcony scene and we both cried and he walked out of the room. And I was like, that's the guy. That's the guy right there to play Romeo. Not the guy I was going to marry. And then, you know, we were really good for like 2 weeks in rehearsals, but we were just obsessed with each other. And then it all fell apart. We totally hooked up. And then my current ex came and saw the show and was literally like, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh my God. That's like literally the plot of Moulin Rouge, where that man comes and he's like, what is this? I don't want to invest money. You're in love.
Exactly. It's exact. And I always say he was like, if anybody knows Romeo and Juliet, he's like the Paris of the story, like the bad one that she doesn't want to marry. And that was who he was. And he keyed in on us being together before I told him.
Oh, how wild. I absolutely fucking love that. Can you tell me about the ghost of the man in a top hat?
Yes, I can.
My assistant does very, very thorough research.
Very thorough research. I actually talked about it on another podcast I was on. Yeah, we used to live in Astoria, New York, and I just always felt this person sitting on the couch. You know, you'd go to the refrigerator and like they was behind you, the couch was in the living room, and I just always felt this person sitting on the couch in the middle of the night. And then there was this one day where my roommate was like, oh yeah, you mean the guy in the top hat? And I was like, yes, the guy in the top hat, like, what is he doing there? Why won't he go away? Like, and he was very non-confrontational. He was a chill ghost, but it was just very clearly there, out of the corner of your eye, and all of those things.
And your roommate saw it as well?
Absolutely. And so did her husband, actually.
Oh my God. I've seen ghosts in my old apartment, but my roommate never saw the ghost.
Well, I have a very like strong feeling that there are people who want to see them and there are people who do not want to see them, and the people who do not want to see them or don't believe in it, right? Generally don't. And I tried to put up a very clear boundary with spirits in general, to be like, hey, I really don't want to see you unless I invite you in. Like, if I'm asking to speak to you or see you, then that's fine. But like, don't be tapping me on the shoulder while I'm like cooking dinner. Like, don't do that.
That's interesting, because I had a friend who was like, yeah, you just have to tell them, no, thank you.
Totally.
I don't want this. Please go away.
It's like any relationship.
I don't want to see you anymore. I'm breaking up with you. Please don't tap me on the shoulder.
Exactly.
Well, let's get into it. Do you have your tarot cards?
I do have my tarot cards. Of course I do.
Okay. Let's do a reading.
Well, this is usually the moment where I would say, is there anything in particular you want to talk about? But
I mean, let's get real. I'm constantly trying to figure out when love is coming for me. So truly, I would like to know about my love life.
Okay, I have that. So I'm using just a standard 78-card tarot deck. It's just that I like the more modern ones. I like that the readings are a little bit different. So, you know, there's a classic. Oh, really? Yes. Yes. They said yes. Sorry.
Who said yes?
My gut said yes. I don't know. Source said yes.
Okay, great. I love it. I would be so upset if it was like, no.
No, no.
Stop. Don't. You can't tell her shit. She can't know.
Okay, so Nicole, what you get here is you get a major arcana card, a minor arcana card, and a court card. And I'll just explain that very briefly. Major arcana cards are like the organs of the story of your life, right? The big stuff. And the minor arcana card is the day-to-day stuff that kind of gets you to the big
sweeping themes of the story of your life that is the major arcana card. And then a court card is just like in a deck of cards, page, knight, queen, king. And these are usually an aspect of your personality or somebody else's personality. And they all kind of have a prescription, right? Like if it doesn't sound like you or someone you know, you're like, oh, is this helpful? Is this useful? How do I balance that? How is this detrimental? Mm-hmm. And I want to start with your court card.
Okay.
Because it could be an aspect of your personality. Now, I do have to admit, I listened to one of your shows, and you did say that you consider yourself a bit of a people pleaser.
Oh, I am fully a people pleaser. And I'm in the midst of learning how to, like, in the moment, if I feel a little grumpy, but I'm out with friends, just to be like, hey, in the moment, I'm feeling just a little grumpy. And the first time I did it, I was in Vegas and it was so hot. And I said it and all my friends were like, oh, okay. And I was like, well, this is liberating. I no longer have to smile. I can just be hot and sweaty and upset for a little bit till we find air conditioning.
Totally.
So I'm really trying to inject that into my life.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. But you're wild, too. Wouldn't you say that you're a wild person?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I do like to have fun. I will make a decision truly right in the moment. And usually it's a choice that other people wouldn't make for themselves.
Okay.
But yeah, I do think I have like a rather free spirit, even though I do love a routine.
Okay. Okay. But you're not somebody who's going to be like put in a box, I would say, like, or controlled.
No, 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 no. I don't like that.
No, nobody does. Okay, so, I mean, some people do, but it's not my vibe. Okay, so what we get here is we get the Queen of Cups or the Mother of Cups. Now, this is your court card. In every deck, they're all kind of artistically represented different, but they're always going to be the same kind of idea. And this court card, queens are the interpersonal relationship members of the court, right? And cups are about love and emotions and intuition and creativity. Now, the Queen of Cups is, I would consider them a people pleaser, but it comes from a very specific place, right? Somebody said it to me the other day in a session I was reading for somebody, and they said, I would light myself on fire to keep you warm, is the phrase that the Queen of Cups uses. So I'm not saying that you necessarily identify with this person, but they are, they fill other people's cups before they fill their own, right? They're constantly trying to take care of everybody else's emotions. They're constantly trying to take care of everybody else before they take care of themselves. They're very sensitive. They're very intuitive people. But that's the thing, is that they will like try and fill from an empty cup because they want to take care of people. Like that's their main goal, is to take care of people before they take care of themselves. Does that sound like anybody to you?
It sounds like me.
I mean, it's they're definitely a people pleaser, but it comes from a really genuine, loving place. And that's what I really like about the Queen of Cups. It's just that they need a reminder that it's like, how are you going to fill from an empty cup? Like you have to take care of yourself, right? So this I need air conditioning moment or, right? It's previously you would have just walked in the 1,000-degree heat forever and just been like, I'm fine.
Yeah, with a smile on my face being like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But I'm trying really hard to just be like, no, I don't feel fine and I don't want to make everyone happy right now.
Yeah.
Which is a really hard thing because you feel like you're letting people down and... there's something in me where I'm like, I just don't want to let people down.
Yeah. Well, you want everybody else to be happy.
Yes. Because when other people are happy, then you can be happy and everybody's happy and everything's nice and good.
Exactly. And yet we find, you know, sometimes you're exhausted or hot and you want to go inside. And it's like the honesty thing ends up being more helpful to a Queen of Cups, right? How do I fill my own cup before I attempt to fill other people's cups? So, you know, when you look at this from a love aspect, honesty, although scary because you're worried about what somebody might feel about you not taking care of them before you take care of yourself, is helpful, right? It's helpful to be honest and fill your own cup so that you can attempt to show up better for yourself and for everybody, right? Okay. So we get the Queen of Cups there, your major arcana card, right? This like big sweeping theme of the story of your life is the Moon. And it's absolutely one of my favorite cards in the whole deck. The imagery is always a moon, but there's wolves in it. And you see there's a white wolf and a black wolf, and they're not mirror images of each other, right? They're two mm-hmm. different wolves. This is a very complicated card. But the one thing I want to, right? But the one thing I want to say about this is the idea of not being put in a box and not being controlled. And when I say wild, it's like wild, intuitive, divine, feminine. Right. Where it's like, mm-hmm. I am this wolf inside and I'm not going to let anybody control me. And it's moments where you are like on vacation, you're like, oh, I should go skinny dipping and I don't know why. And I'm going to go skinny dipping. Right. Mm-hmm. The moon kind of talks to us in that way. But it is very much about kind of the mysterious darkness and wild intuition that we have inside of ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to talk to you about that, right? Because again, this idea of not letting somebody else control you or not letting somebody else judge you, right? Because the biggest thing with the moon is I am going to listen to that part of myself and I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks about it, right? And I'm certainly not going to judge myself when I say I'm going to go skinny dipping or I'm going to do whatever it is, right? So it is it's a contradictory two cards to have, right? Because the Queen of Cups is like, I got to take care of everybody else. And, and the moon is like, fuck it, I'm going to do what I want because my gut is telling me to do it. So talk to me about that. I mean,
I do like to make sure everybody is happy, but I also do like to be like, let's do this. Like, I guess the best example is like, my best friend, Sashir, she's not a water baby. I'm a water baby. I love water. Uh-huh. And we were in Hawaii, I think, and there was a water slide. And I was like, come on. I know we're adults, but like, I think a water slide will be really fun in this moment. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, please, come on. You'll watch me go down. It'll be fun. And then she did go down. I think she went down twice. I think I went down three times. And then she was like, thank you for pushing me to do it. It was very fun. And then I was like, okay, now we're going to walk through a waterfall. It was just like a waterfall in the pool. And she was like, that I actually really don't think I'll have fun with. And I was like, but you had fun on the water slide. And then we walked through the waterfall. And she was like, I hated that. And I was like, I know. It was bad. But you did it. Yeah. And like we were in Bahamas and we like a lot of the same things, but I do push her for like more of adventure things. Like I don't think she'd been on a jet ski before. I was like, let's get on a jet ski. And then I had never had a massage because I don't really love people. I don't love touch. That's not my love language.
Uh-huh.
So, like, she got me into massages, and it helped me allow people to touch me. And that was, like, not a boundary. It was just, like, a wall I had up that she helped me, you know, pull down a little. So, yeah, like, I kind of push her to have fun in ways that she doesn't think she will have fun.
Do you judge yourself in those moments ever?
What do you mean? When I'm like, let's go on an adventure?
Yeah. Like, are you like, oh, God, maybe I'm pushing her too much? Or are you like, no, let's do this. Yes,
no, because I'm like, she'll have fun. Like, there's... Very rarely, I don't even think there's ever been a time where she was like, that wasn't for me and I actually really hated it and I don't ever want to do that again. Like, usually it's like, we had a lot of fun. And then I'll just like make up stories sometimes when we go to restaurants and she'll just jump on board. And so, yeah, like I'll on a whim, I'll do something and she'll be like, yes. And I have other friends like that where I'm like, let's go to Vegas this weekend. I figured out how to get us free rooms. And they'll be like, oh, okay. And I'll be like, and we'll do this. And I'll figure out this. And I'll figure out this. I'm terrible at planning, but I'm very good at like corralling a group of people
to
do something fun. If somebody else wants to like take care of like the actual, I'm good at broad pictures. I'm not good at details.
Sure. I mean, I love it. Because this is so much about the moon is, among other things, showing up authentically, right? How you can show up authentically, even if it's the dark wolf in there, the darkness inside of us, the all those dark things inside, you know, not wanting to walk in 1,000-degree heat, not go back into the air conditioning, those parts of ourselves. Do you find that it is harder to do that in relationships?
Oh, absolutely. Because I really have only dated people who I don't think genuinely like me. I think they get sick of me real fast, which is fine. I'm
I am a lot, and I know that. But the last relationship I was in, I did find it a little hard to be spontaneous or to, like, do stuff with them because I was like, I don't know if they want to do it. I don't want to, like, overstep. I would. It was like one of those things where it's like, do you want to go eat? And I'd be like, yeah, what do you want to go eat? Or do you want to stay inside? And I'd be like, well, I guess if you want to stay inside, but, like, in my heart of hearts, I'd be like, I would like to stay inside. I'm actually very tired.
Yes.
If we want to go out later this week, let's plan it. But I never said those words out loud. I would just, like, do things that I thought that they would want to do.
Yeah. It's because the Queen of Cups is in there being like, I'll just fill your cup.
Yes.
And then that'll be better. And it's like these moments where you're like, I see myself on these vacations. I see myself with these friendships. I see how much people adore me when I'm this wild thing that is the moon. And how do I then apply that to relationships? And frankly, you don't want to be in a relationship where somebody doesn't love that wild, crazy part mm-hmm. of you, right? So it's like, they're not even worth your time. But it's this very interesting thing where it's like, it's so easy to apply that in my friendships or at work, for example, but it is way harder to do it in a relationship.
Yeah, I think it's because I know that my friendships aren't going away. I have, like, a solid group of people in my life that are, like, some of the most amazing, caring, giving, beautiful people that I know. And I know they're not going anywhere. And I know they accept me for who I am because we've all been friends for so long. Even new friends. Like, I've made a new friend this year, and I love her so much. And I know she's not going to go anywhere, and I know she's going to be in my life for a while. But with, like, a partner, I'm like, well, I'm a very anxious attacher, according to Instagram, my therapist,
yes.
And a book I have started. so I'm not anxious in relation or in friendships, but in relationships, I'm like, this person might go away, whether I, like, actually like them or not.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, whether you actually like them or not, it's like, you need somebody who's going to love that wild part of you that does not want to change you, that does not judge you, and that does not put you in the box because you're a fun time, says the moon, right? Like, I'm wild. Yeah. It's great. Okay, so then you're clearly a very busy person. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Very, very busy.
Very, very busy. Okay, so you get Queen of Cups, the moon, and you got the Seven of Cups. I do find it not surprising that we have all cups cards because, again, those are about relationships and love and intuition and creativity, right? So we pulled none of the other suits in the tarot, just cups. And we're on a love podcast, so obviously that's very on brand. The Seven of Cups is about having a lot going on. You're like, I always think of those people who are spinning all the plates, like mm-hmm. on the Lawrence Welk show, and they're like running from the plate and trying to keep them all in the air. And the Seven of Cups is like, hey, it's time to choose a cup, right? Focus on one thing at a time. Stop trying to do 10 million things at the same time. Because if you try to do 10 million things at the same time, inevitably either none of them get done or all the eggs get burned, right? You're cooking seven eggs. And it's interesting because I'm always like, the Seven of Cups can change, right? It can be like, this is when I'm focusing on work, or this is when I'm focusing on myself, or this is when I'm focusing on friendships. But it's when you start to try and be an octopus to do all of those things at the mm-hmm. same time that something suffers or whatever it may be. But it's almost like I'm too busy to have a relationship anyway. I'm spinning so many plates that it's like, I got enough to do. Like, mm-hmm. it's like that Seven of Cups moment where it's like, well, if this were the priority, then you take the cup, right? You go after it. And when it's not mm-hmm. the priority, you take the other cup of, you know, taking care of yourself or taking care of your career or whatever it may be. But it is saying, like, you got to focus on one thing at a time to mm-hmm. get the thing that you really, really want. And it is. It's about focusing on filling your own cup so that you know that the person who eventually comes isn't going to judge you and isn't going to leave because they think you're, and I'm putting this in quotes, too much, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whatever yes. that is. It's like, I fill my own cup so that I have somebody who knows how amazing and wild and fun and adventurous I really am. And I don't have to worry about that, right?
I don't have to, I don't have to be concerned about the fact that they think XYZ about me because I don't give a shit what they think about me, which I know you don't, but it's in the relationships. You're like, but why care? Right. It's like, why care what they think about you?
Yeah. I think in like my heart of hearts, I'm like, yes, the person should accept me or whatever. And I shouldn't care, but I deeply care because I want you to like me because I'm a nice person and please, please, please just like me. And it's not like a desperate, it's just like a thing in me. Maybe it is desperation. I don't know. My mother used to say men can smell desperation from a mile away. And I'd be like, so I'm stinky. And does that mean they love me?
No, it's not desperate. And if it's the Queen of Cups at all, it's because your need to take care of other people trumps your need to take care of yourself sometimes. So it's not a desperate thing. It's more like, I'm here to take care of you and show up for you. And it's like, well, you got to fill your own cup too. You got to, you know what I mean? So that you come from a whole cup.
Yes. Fill it, fill it, fill it. Regular fill it. And let it. Real quick, we have to take a break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about. And thank God I have a podcast. But then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist. And listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back. Okay, so do you know when love is coming to me? Because that reading did resonate with me. I felt like it was pretty spot on. When I pull my own cards, I pull a lot of cup cards. I personally don't know the cards as well as you. So I have like my little book where I read my little book. And da-da-da. I'm also pretty good at reading cards for other people. Uh-huh. And it's really interesting whenever I read with whatever deck I read, with whatever little thing that goes with it that explains the cards, it never tells anyone. I never tell anyone something they don't already know.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. I think that's why tarot cards are so fascinating, because really, to me, it's what it's doing is it's pulling out of your brain what it is you want to talk about. So you know, people will be like, well, I knew all that, but thank you, because that was very transformative and amazing. Yeah. But also, I knew that. And I'm like, I know you knew that. You just needed an external person to tell you the things that you already knew.
Yeah. I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast, but one of my favorite readings was a friend of mine who is just like an old friend from back home and is notoriously one of the most annoying people I've ever met in my whole life, but I love them. And they are always in people's business. And the cards were like, mind your own business. You start shit with people. You need to just focus on yourself. And everyone who is in the living room with me was like, wow, that's him. That's him. He's got to stick to his own shit. And I was like, ah. So then I read everybody's cards and they were all like dead on. Just like, I love tarot. I have a deck. My favorite deck it's called a Dawn Aquarius deck. And when I bought it, I was like, do you have a Virgo deck? Do you have a Dawn Virgo deck? And they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, this is Aquarius. And like, that's the artist's name. And I was like, I've never been more embarrassed. Sorry. And it's funny because I have two other decks that like don't speak to me the way that this one deck does.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, cards are interesting.
They really are. They all have a kind of personality onto themselves. Wait, to go back to your question of when, right?
Oh, yes.
I do not believe that cards do that exactly, right? Because I believe that we all have free will. That's the biggest thing that I love about tarot cards. But the card that I pulled for you was judgment, right? Okay, so the way I describe judgment is, let's say you've taken your final trip on the Wheel of Fortune, right? And you go wherever we go. You go to heaven, you trade your soul to Anubis, you decide to reincarnate, right?
And who's Anubis?
Do you know the Egyptian god?
Oh,
He's like a dog god.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I do know Anubis.
He's like the underworld god. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you trade your soul. So however you believe the end comes, and whoever is there says, did you do what you were supposed to do in this lifetime, right? Did you heed your call to judgment? And I always feel that calls to judgment can be massive. I want to cure cancer. They can be specific. I want to have a family. I want to be a professional tarot card reader, whatever it may be. And they can change and they can evolve and all of those things. But sometimes when you're heeding that single call, the other ones aren't as important, right? And so it really comes down to a question of like, what is the call to judgment for you right now? Like, what is the most important thing that you are saying to myself? I have to do this, right? I have to be the most famous person in my town. That's what you said on the podcast, right? I have to be known, or I have to be the best comedian, whatever. If that's the call to judgment right now, then that's the call to judgment right now. And heeding that becomes the most important. And then eventually it's like, I have to have a family, or I want to have a partner, right? That's another call to judgment. And it's like, with your Seven of Cups, it's like, it's okay to be spinning one plate. You know what I mean? So it's like when that call to judgment is like, okay, it's time. I want to have a family, or I want to be married, or however you see love. I want a partner. Mm-hmm. That'll be it. But maybe right now that's not the call to judgment. Maybe you're busy being, you know, a boss.
Maybe, but I mean, this will sound very cocky, and I do think I've said it before. I don't really worry about my career because I know things will fall in place for me. Mm-hmm. I work hard and I do things behind the scenes that like people don't realize I'm doing. But with love, you can't orchestrate love. You can orchestrate a career.
Yeah.
Any career you want, you can put things in motion to do what needs to be done to get what you want. And of course, luck has to happen with some things.
Sure.
And I've been very, very lucky and I'm not stupid. But with love, you can't 1+1 it to get what you want.
You can't.
And I find that to be the most frustrating. So I'm like, how does one focus? Like, how do I focus that cup? How do I focus on love?
I mean, I think it goes back to filling your own cup. Stop being the queen of cups for everybody. Stop taking care of and we're going to go to partnerships, right? Because you're like, I'm really learning this lesson in regards to my friendships. It's like, okay, I told them I didn't want to be outside anymore. And they respected that and responded really well. What does that look like? And then it comes into your relationships. It's like, maybe the next person you date, when you decide to be that version of yourself, right? They're going to be like, God, that's so hot. I love that. I love that you're telling me the truth. I love that you're speaking up for yourself. I love that, right? And they end up respecting you more for that. But judgment is like, at what point does this become the thing that it's like, if I go tomorrow and I weren't trying to get this, I'm not heeding that call. And perhaps love is that for you. I don't know. But it is really, it's a big deal of being like, ugh, I have to try every damn day to get this thing.
But I don't even know how to try. I do. Okay, so I have this like new rule on the apps where, because I'm back on the fucking apps, I really teeter-totter. Like, if you only listen to the podcast every now and again, and if you skip episodes, you've heard me go, I've given up. I'm back on. I've given up. I'm back on. I don't feel like dating. I was in a relationship. Now I'm not. So it's like, I'm truly all over the place with love. I've never been in such a like chaotic state with love. But also I feel like something is in the air this month that feels insane.
There
and
is.
It's not, I like, there's just some, like October has been funky.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if it's been funky for you, but like, just everyone I've spoken to is like, oh, I am in a valley of my life waiting for a peak or a hill or something other than this low. And I don't feel like low, but like I feel just like a huge, like a dip.
Oh, no, 100%.
A dip in the spirit.
100%. No, well, we're in I know this is going to come out in November, but we're in eclipse season right now, which is always extremely challenging because eclipses are these insane times where, you know, fate kind of goes at its own pace and it's usually sped up, and it, you know, eclipses make us kind of look at the dark parts of ourselves and shine light on the things that we don't like about ourselves, and eclipses inevitably do that. So yes, no, October has been insane. October's been insane.
Will it get better? When does it get nice?
It gets nice after the 28th of October.
Oh my God.
It gets nice again.
We're recording this on the 19th, and I don't know if I have 7 more days, a week more of this in me. My goodness.
You can do it. You can do it. But being on the apps, going back to judgment, right? It's like being on the apps, even though the apps suck. I have to say that I've never had experience in them. I'm lucky, but.
Very lucky.
Right. I'm very lucky. But it's like that is a way to show up to the heeding the call of judgment of love or partnership, is trying your damnedest to get the thing, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to get back on these apps because this is something that I need. This is what's important and I want it. I'm going to get it. And no, it's not a mathematical equation, but inevitably when you're taking care of yourself and showing up as authentically as humanly possible, eventually you stumble upon somebody who really likes that.
Boy, oh boy. When also my little boundary with the apps right now, I don't know if I've mentioned this, but like I swipe until it doesn't feel good. Cause I've had friends and people come on the podcast be like, oh, it just like drains me. It takes time. Like I'll be on there for like an hour. I am never on the apps for an hour. I'm on them for 5 minutes or less. As soon as like I'm swiping and I'm not matching with anyone and I get sad about that, I'm like, well, that's enough for today. We'll try again tomorrow or the next day. Because let me tell you, it is devastating when you are swiping yes to people that you don't find very attractive and they also do not find you attractive and they do not swipe on you. And you go, well, I lowered my standards for a meet and you didn't do the same.
And it didn't even pay off.
Yeah, it's devastating. And then everyone I know doesn't have a single friend because I've been like, hook me up, whatever. And I had a reading with somebody recently. They were an intuitive, maybe they were a psychic. I cannot remember what their, I almost just said pronouns were.
Their title.
I don't know what their title was, but they said that I was going to meet someone at a Halloween party. And I was like, interesting. I'm going away for Halloween and I'm missing all of the Halloween parties.
Oh, no. Oh, maybe next Halloween.
Oh, my God. Waiting on another 300.
Then you need to get your,
You need to get to a Halloween party this year. There you go.
I guess so. Maybe I'll throw a Halloween party in like in March. I'll be like, it's Halloween in March. Come to my house. Wear a costume. Someone love me. God. I mean, the thought of meeting someone in person seems nice. It seems nicer than meeting someone on an app. But also meeting someone on an app, like I've just gone on so many dates that I'm like, I just want to meet somebody. So wait, okay. You're an intuitive card reader and a practical practitioner. So you can't tell me when I'm going to meet someone.
I'm not a psychic, man. I'm not a psychic. I can only tell you. And that's why I was like, do you feel that love is your call to judgment in this moment? Is that the call? And I know you like you said, this thing about your career, you're like, I know it's going to come. That's the moon part of you. You're like, I'm wild. I'm intuitive. I know that as long as I show up amazing and do all the stuff behind the scenes that I need to do, I know my career is going to be great. I know it's going to be fine. But it's like, does finding love feel like the call to judgment right now?
I feel like yes. Technically have the time where maybe when this comes out, SAG will have made a deal, but we're still in a strike.
Yes.
So like I'm not working anywhere close to the amount I was. But then also maybe it's like maybe love isn't happening now because when the strike is over, maybe things will get busy and then I actually really won't have time. But I would love a partner who understands my life. And I think that is an actual it's a very tall order, I do think.
I hear you, but it's 100% possible. But I hear what you're saying, that it's a tall order. Because you've got you're Seven of Cups. You've got a lot of things spinning. Like yes, we know the strike has been so intense for everybody. But it's like, and even in the strike, I'm sure you're over there being like, okay, well, what can I have move, right? What can I be doing? What can I make happen for myself? And it's like loving yourself first and foremost seems to be the sweet spot at the moment so that you can heed this call to judgment of love.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. Like, I do love myself. I try to do things to like take care of myself. Although like in the last 2 weeks, I've been so busy that like my sleep has been off. I've been traveling so much. But like I try to do things for myself. I don't know. I guess it's like keep doing things for myself and take care of me and somebody will come.
I mean, I think so. I think so. And it's so intense. You know, it's funny. When people come to me to talk about love, it's one of the more interesting conversations. Because again, I can't tell you when, right? But I can tell you what the things you're supposed to be doing to fulfill what you need to fulfill on your own page. Because you forget there's a whole other person who is, you know, getting their own tarot card reading, saying the same thing. And they have to meet you up at the same spot, right? So it's like they have their own wheel and their own call to judgment. And it's like, well, when does that person kind of stumble into your life? Or when do you find yourself at the same Halloween party? Or when do you swipe, you know, right or left? Which one is it? Which one's yes? Mm-hmm.
I think yes is right, left is no. But I always just do the heart or the X because I'm just like, swiping seems so dismissive. I'd rather be like, yes or no. Okay. A magical practitioner, do you cast spells? Can I cast a spell for somebody?
Okay. I was wondering if you were going to talk to me about this. Okay. So yes, I do cast spells. I do them very often. And here's a rule about eclipses, right? I am a witch who believes that we do not do any magic during eclipses because eclipses are going to do their own work. Hopefully you've been spellcasting or manifesting up until a certain point in the eclipse come and it kind of speeds everything up for you. So you stop your magical practices. But you're not going to like my answer. But I know you're going to be like, oh, no. Try again. If the key to spellcasting is surrounded with love, right? If the idea is to find somebody. As a witch, I believe you never want to manipulate anyone's free will, right? So you can be saying, I am going to manifest the perfect position to be in a loving place with myself and with my authenticity and talking about what I need, right, to find somebody. But you don't really want to be like, I'm casting a spell to find this person on this date, because then you're messing with somebody else's free will. It's like, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, practical magic, right? She
never seen it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the book is really, I prefer the book, and somebody does a love spell to get this person to love them, and then they end up being this, like, abusive person who's obsessed with them. And it's like, magic is like that. It's like, you have to stay in your own magical lane and attempt to not mess with somebody else's free will.
But is it messing with somebody's free will if you're just like, whoever's supposed to come to me, come to me?
No, I think that's it. That's an okay thing to do. But it's not like, I want to meet them. I want them to look like this. I want them to, on this date, on the, you know what I mean? It's like, I want to find, you know, the helpful thing to spell cast for yourself in regards to love would be like, I want to find myself in the perfect place or time to find love, versus it being like, I want this person to find themselves in the perfect time or place to find me. You know what I mean?
So can you cast that spell for me?
Yeah, girl, I'll do it for you.
Hell yeah. Okay. Okay.
After the eclipse, we'll do it. We'll do it.
After the eclipse. So in November?
Yeah.
Okay. What other things can you do to, like, fill your cup?
Well, you know, yours is not about, that's why the moon became so important, because yours was not about loving yourself. You love yourself. You that wild, you know, you're adventurous, all of those things. It's more about how you are authentic about that. I keep coming back to the, like, wanting to get into the air conditioning thing and how you do that in relationships as well. It's like, no, I don't want to go out to dinner tonight. Why didn't we plan that? And being totally honest with that without worrying about whether somebody is going to like it or not. Who gives a shit if somebody likes it or not? And if they like you, then they're going to be like, okay, I don't want to go out to eat, and whatever you need, baby. Like, if that's what you need, that's what you need. So I think yours is about filling your own cup in a way that it's like, I know that my requests for what I need are totally valid. And if anybody thinks that's shitty of you, it's like, well, fuck them. Fuck them. They don't deserve you anyway. But how do you fill your own cup? I mean, do you pull your cards for yourself?
Yes.
How often?
Like once a weekish, sometimes more.
Yeah, that's always a, I always feel that anybody who has a deck and is pulling for themselves, it's a great way to kind of fill your own cup. Because again, when you're looking at the suit of cups, it's not just love, it's also intuition and creativity. So it's like, anything I can do that makes me feel creative, or anything that I can do that makes me feel intuitive, right? All of those things are surrounded by the love and sensitivity aspect. So anytime you're writing for yourself, or anytime you are doing something creative, those are ways that I think people fill their own cup. Anything that feels intuitive, anything that feels creative, and anything that feels loving towards yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Real quick, we got to take a break. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the healthcare everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves healthcare. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
What advice do you have for single people out there?
What advice do I have for single people out there? I mean, so you said love felt chaotic right now. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going back to that Seven of Cups thing, right? It's like single people out there. It's like, how do we, I mean, my advice would be let your freak flag fly, honestly. That would be my tarot advice, but also kind of tarot advice, is that like, I always felt confident being the bizarre freak that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to find somebody who respects me and loves me exactly the way that I am. And that the only thing I can do is show up as myself. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And goddess willing, somebody comes along and is like, yeah, I like that. So as showing up authentically as yourself would be my advice for people, because you don't want to get into a relationship where you're manipulating who you are for somebody. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I don't even like me and I don't like them.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking exhausting being like, I got to now put on my little mask and be this person that I've crafted for this person.
It's awful. And they probably don't like it either, you know? I'm really lucky as my husband is totally the Scully to my Mulder, right? He is mm-hmm. the skeptic. I am the believer. He is a total muggle, right? In a magical world. And yet he would never, ever judge me. And he would never, ever make me feel anything other than a powerful witch. And so I know that feels a little Hallmark card, love and light bullshit, but it's like, if I can show up as authentically, as humanly possible as myself, then I will get someone who deserves to be around me with my freak flag flying.
I love that. I really do. Yeah, I like that a lot. Do you ever read your husband's cards?
I have. I've read his cards twice ever.
Only twice?
Yes, only twice. We've been together for 12 years and I've only read his cards twice.
I would bug him all the time and be like, come on, let me, I got something to tell you. Please, let me read.
No, that's what I'm so weird about. I'm like, I will never tell anybody they need a reading. I always will wait. Like, they have to give me the invitation.
Do you ever do like past, present, future mm-hmm. readings?
Yep.
Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. Let me shuffle. I do. My hour long is usually, it's actually a spread that I created myself, and it starts with past, present, future. And then I end up filling in the timeline. So we basically go from your past into your present and your present into your future. And I do use oral cards for my mm-hmm. hour longs because I feel that they They like a nice cherry on top of a good reading. It's like a good, okay. It's like a good orgasm with those.
I do like to come.
But that's why I just love using oral replies as well as tarot. But like tarot's the focus. Tell me about your other decks while I'm shuffling. I have to hear these say yeah.
Okay. Well, my other deck the artist's name is Dawn Aquarius. And there are these very beautiful pink cards that are very ornate and very, very detailed. And I think I'm drawn to it because of the detail, because I'm not a super detail oriented person.
Right.
And then I have these other cards that are like, they're like stripper focused. I can't remember the artist's name. But they're very funny cards, but I like just having them, but I don't use them. And then I have like a traditional one from like the House of Intuition that I guess I don't love because they're like traditional and don't feel specific enough to me.
It's funny. There's decks that I use all the time, and then there's decks that just sit in my closet or I can sign because I'm like, they're just not right. Just not right for me. Okay. So, you know, we get more interesting career stuff in your past, right? The position of your past, we do get the Ace of Pentacles. So what I always say to people is Pentacles is tangible, mundane things. They represent, what do I do for a living? How do I make my money? And then who is in my environment? Where do I live, right? So these tangible things. The Ace of Pentacles, aces are always like a gift from the universe. It's like, here, this is the thing you're going to plant, right? Here's a new thing. But the Ace of Pentacles is so important because it's like, if I'm growing the tree that is my life, then the tangible, mundane choices I make are ultimately extremely important, but also should kind of spiritually aid me, right? Like what I do for a living and where I live and who's in my environment. These are things that become something more than just like how I make money. It's like how you show up for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big choices, right? But we get the Ace of Pentacles, which is about, you look at the Ace of Pentacles and dumb it down. It's like starting a new job or moving. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the position of your past, is this tree surrounding how you make your money and where you live. Right. Talk to me about that. This is the moment where you talk to me about planting the seed that you feel is successfully growing right now.
Well, yeah, I guess, I mean, my move to LA was pretty pivotal in me booking more jobs. It was just like being at the right place at the right time. Like I was in the right place in New York, but then like there wasn't really work for me. And then I moved to LA and then things just like really started happening for me.
When did you move to LA?
October 2012.
Happy anniversary of being out in LA.
Thank you. I wish I could remember the actual day that I came, but I just remember it being October.
Could you imagine it was today? In 2012.
Okay.
That is the seed, right? And that became the seed that you were planting in that moment of the most important thing in that moment, right? So then it's like, well, how do we kind of grow the tree that becomes the who is in my environment as well, right? Because although it's not a love card, it's not a cups card, the people that you have surrounding you, whether it be a partner or a child or whatever it is, those are people that are in your environment. So, but we get this kind of very clear thing in your past position of like, this is the seed that I'm planting. I moved to make my career even better and more boisterous and wonderful and all of those things, right? So your present position, and it is interesting during the strike, right? Your present position is the Chariot. So do you just push yourself all the time? Or do you like to rest?
I mean, I do like to rest, but for the most part, I do work a lot.
Has it been, with the strike going on, have you been pushing yourself more personally with your career, or like, you know, I don't know if you necessarily can write too, right? Because there was a strike going on with that. But like the Chariot is so much about like movement, right? How I get to the things that I want and success ultimately, and how I move my body through physical space to get what I want. And the Chariot can be exhausting if you live in the Chariot all the time. Mm-hmm. And as a performer and as someone in the public eye, you guys have to chariot a lot. That is like the whole thing is like charioting, charioting to here, charioting to there to get to what I want and success and all of these things. And so that's why I was curious. I'm like, are you somebody who likes to live in the Chariot all the time, or are you good with the Chariot's balance?
I think I live in the Chariot a lot of the time because I do like to work. I like to be busy. I like to be doing things. Right now I'm touring until the end of the year. So yeah, I'm pretty busy.
You're charioting.
Yeah, I like it.
It's good. That's really good. And it's part of your Ace of Pentacles over here. It's like I charioted myself to a place that was going to allow me to work even harder, work smarter, work more, get it, get it, right? Was the strike really frustrating to you with the Chariot? Your momentum of the Chariot?
Yeah, there was like a chunk of time where like it was just like, oh, so like nothing is happening. There is no movement and there's nothing I can do. Uh-huh. There's truly no avenue to get what I want right now.
Mm-hmm. Did your environment feel like it was a nice place to be during those times where you couldn't chariot as much? Like your home?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why the Ace of Pentacles becomes so important, right? It's like the place that you live and what your environment looks like becomes so paramount to making sure that you are a happy, healthy version of yourself, right? Mm-hmm. But I like that you go on vacations. That's a good thing to have with the balance of your Chariot.
I try to get away when I can.
You have to. Okay, so the position of your future, we do get the Knight of Swords, and this is a court card. Again, you got another major court card. So the Knight of Swords, let me talk to you about the Knight of Swords. The Knight of Swords, knights are how do I reach my goal, right? How do I get there? And then the act of quality through their suit with which they do that. And swords are all about your mind. So the Knight of Swords is a perfectionist. They are really brilliant people, but they are bloodthirsty at getting to what they want. And they push themselves really hard to get there. And they are very mathematical. It is like, they're a GPS. It's like, if I put in the coordinates, I know how I'll get there, when I'll get there, what it looks like getting there, all of these things. And this is not, it's not the best when it comes to love, by the way, with the Knight of Swords.
Okay.
Because it's like, okay, I know exactly on the timeline how this is going to happen and what it's going to look like. And it's like, you'll never know. You're right. That's what you said. It's not a math problem. Mm-hmm. You're like, if it were a math problem, I could solve it, but it's not, right? Do you identify with the Knight of Swords?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'm a perfectionist, but like, I am like hard on myself with a lot of things, or my therapist is like, hey, chill out.
Yeah.
You don't got to be like this. So, yeah, I guess I do identify with that.
Okay, I'm just going to go out on a limb. Does it frustrate you that your Knight of Swords is so good at getting what you want career-wise, and yet the Knight of Swords is like, wait, why isn't it a math problem? Like, why can't I just have the coordinates to getting into a relationship? Why can't it just be clear, like this, I put in the work, I'm amazing, and I get it. And then love is like, well, that's very frustrating. Yeah. It's not the same way.
It's incredibly frustrating.
Yeah. Well, so the Knight of Swords is very interesting because it's like they're useful to you, right? If you're trying to finish a project, or if you're trying to, I don't know, balance your checkbook. Do people do that anymore? Do your taxes, right? The Knight of Swords is going to be very useful to you. But the Knight of Swords is not very useful when it comes to love, frankly, right? That other part of that pentacle that you planted, because it's like, I want someone in my environment with my pentacles. That's part of the tree that is my life, right? So the Knight of Swords is like, okay, well, if I just figure out exactly what it's going to look like,
then I'm going to get there. And it's like, you'll never know exactly what it looks like. And that's what's so magical about magic. I mean, truly, that's why I know that's, but that's what's so amazing about magic, is that trying to logic something that you can't logic is kind of kills the vibe, right? And that's why when you look at the tarot, love is a different suit than your mind. It's not logical. Mm-hmm. It's not a logical thing. It's like, it's just not logical. So the Knight of Swords is useful to you. But if we're boiling it down to love again, right? Since we're on a love podcast, it's like trying to figure out what it looks like, even the timeline thing. And I know that, I don't know if that's like naturally a question you ask, but like, when? Well, when's it going to happen, right? The Knight of Swords is the part of you that's like, well, when's it going to happen? And it's like, I can't give you a date. I can't be like, this day.
That's what I want.
I mean, maybe some people could say that they can do that, but I think they're full of shit.
All right. Well, maybe I won't meet someone at Halloween. Probably not. Anyway, Sutton, thank you so much for doing this. I do ask all of my guests. I've forgotten it a couple times because I'm forgetful. But would you date me?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely, I date you.
Thank you. Sutton, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Oh, just myself. My website is suttoncrawford.com. I am Sutton Crawford on the gram, the Instagram. I'm pretty casual. You can either email me at Sutton Crawford off of my website, or you can actually DM me on Instagram. And I offer a multitude of different kinds of readings, 30 minutes, an hour, 3-card pulls, which I'm about to record one after I have talked to you right now. And I'm here to talk about anything that you guys need to talk about. So suttoncrawford.com.
Perfect. I love that. And if you like this podcast, you can rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. You can leave me a comment there or whatever. But if you want to hit on me, you can write to me at whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com, and I will read your nastiest come on. This person said, "Hi, Nicole and Mars. Thank you for including Marissa. I'm a gold star gay, but I'm going to break my 30-year streak with you. Going to eat your pussy like a pro, running my tongue deep into your valley, bringing the rain like the god I am. Your rivers will run, and as you get nice and wet, I'll work my finger in and making you scream my name, Barney, the friendly D. Yeah, enjoy my big purple dick as I breed you until you have a vagina rose. Ew. Is that a thing? Did I mention I'm gay? Okay, Barney, you want my vagina to prolapse? That's not nice. That's rude. Bye-bye.
Why Won't You Date Me? With Nicole Byer is produced by me, Mars. It's executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, with talent bookings by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Maddie Ogden. Got a question, crazy dating story, or a dirty message for Nicole? Write it to whywon'tyoudatemepodcast@gmail.com for a chance to have it featured on a future show.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.